The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Final Hooter here on Radio General. It's our own look at the rugby league scene. My name is Dave Parkinson. Usually I'd be alongside my mate Adrian Jackson, but he can't be with us tonight, but it doesn't mean that he isn't involved in the show. So what have we got coming up? Well, to be honest, it's a really packed show this evening, full of guests, which I'll reveal as we go along. We've got the good, the bad and the ugly of rugby league. We've also got a quick review of the first two rounds of the Super League competition. We're going to be hearing from Rugby League Street once again, and the thoughts of some of our young contributors who are going to be talking about referees this week. There's an excerpt of the Challenge Cup. We'll also be hearing from the Championship launch. We'll also have a review of the opening weekend in the Championship, including myself and Adrian Jackson's visit over to the Lee Sports Village, and what a humdinger of a game that we saw. And then we'll have a look over at the World Club Challenge, which of course features our very own, as far as the hospital radio station Radio General is concerned, Warrington Wolves. So Warrington won of three games over the course of this coming weekend. They host Illawarra, or St George Illawarra Dragons, on Friday evening. We see Wigan host Brisbane Broncos on Saturday evening, and then it's the big one on Sunday, and it's St Helens taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs for the World Club Championship. Right, let's get on, shall we? First of all, the good, the bad and the ugly of rugby league. Starting off with the good, and it's nice to see an increase in crowds, particularly in Super League. From round one, all the increases were 16% up on last season's figures, so that can only be good for the game of rugby league. Also good was Lee's opening campaign game against Bradford Bulls, which drew a crowd just short of 7,500 to the Lee Sports Village. Now, I'm certainly hoping and looking forward to seeing how crowds develop in the Championship, and I'm certainly hoping that we see an increase across the board. In the ugly, well, we've got to include that man Gareth Hawke again, haven't we? Not for one incident, but for two incidents in the game between Salford and St Helens last week, where he had use of the knees. He's subsequently been banned for six matches. It's a shame, because he is a talent, and if he could just get that discipline side of his game right, then he would walk into the international setup. But I think it goes against him in the long run, but still one of the most skillful forwards in Super League when he puts his mind to it. In the bad, well, for me, it's a bit of a bugbear in fairness, and this comes with the video referees. This year, they're asked to do a slightly different job in the fact that they have to prove that a try is categorically scored. They can't just go off what they feel. They've got to see it. Okay, and we saw an example of this in the Catalans game at the weekend against Castleford, when a kick was put over to the right-hand corner as far as Castleford were concerned. Denny Solomona seemed to get to it, get right underneath it as well. He took the kick, he went over, he scored the try. It was passed up to the video referee, and then it was disallowed. Now, I just couldn't really understand that. And for me, it's a bad element of the game of rugby league at the moment. I think they need to look at this. Of course, the other bad element of a couple of these early season games is the amount of penalties that was involved. Certainly the game which we're going to be hearing a bit more from later on in the Championship between Bradford Bulls and Lee Centurions. It's left a bitter taste in the Bulls' mouth, that's for sure. They've been mentioning about the referee's control of that particular game. And, well, there's been some high penalty counts across the board, really. So that, for me, is the good, the bad and the ugly of rugby league this week. Let's have a look at the Super League, the opening of the Super League. And it all started off a couple of weeks ago at Widnes, when Widnes hosted Wigan. The clash of the local titans, you can say. Certainly a lot of links between the two clubs these days. And, well, it would be fair to say that it was a humdinger that we saw, and it ended up being an enthralling game which finished 22 points each. Now, Wigan, they shot off to a great start with a try through Joel Tompkins. Then they doubled that advantage with a try from Anthony Gellin after 15 minutes. That was converted by Matty Smith for a 10-0 advantage. Then we saw Widnes lose their fulcrum in Kevin Brown. He went off with an injury and didn't come back on. And Widnes went from bad to worse when Patrick Arvan, in my opinion, was harshly dismissed for a high tackle on Josh Charnley. It meant that Josh Charnley didn't play any further part in the game, and it also meant that Widnes were reduced to 12 men for the rest of the game from the 24th minute. Wigan seemingly went further ahead and almost wrapped up the game, they thought anyway, when they went 16-0 ahead. Anthony Gellin scoring his second try after 28 minutes. That converted again by Matty Smith. But then, just 5 minutes from the interval, Joe Mellor swept up a loose ball, as far as Wigan were concerned, went half the length of the pitch for Widnes, scored a good try in the corner. Danny Tickle bobbed over the goal, 16 points to 6 at half time, and Widnes back in with a chance in the game. They had greater impetus in the second half, scored the first try of it after 46 minutes when Rhys Hanbury went over. That was converted by Danny Tickle again, and the gap was down to just 4 points. Wigan rallied. They got themselves together again, scored a smart try in the corner from Joe Burgess. That was converted once more by Matty Smith for a 22 points to 12 advantage. But then in the last 13 minutes, Widnes came of age. They really did put plenty of pressure on the Wigan line, and it resulted in tries from Cameron Phelps and Chris Dean, one of those being converted by Stephen Marsh to secure the 22-all draw. And a thrilling game, even if there were plenty of mistakes. But to be honest, we expect plenty of mistakes at this stage of the season, don't we? I mean, everybody's just getting back into the swing of things from the pre-season and the friendlies, so we do not expect it to be perhaps 100% completions or anything like that. There was good points in the game, there was bad points in the game, but certainly the bulk of the 9,300 crowd can go home happy in the knowledge that they saw an absolute cracker which finished 22-all. So that was my pick from round one. In round two, I'm going to go across to Wakefield. Now, we didn't mention them last in our show, really. We just said that we thought that they might struggle again, but what do we know? They won the first game of the season late on against Castleford Tigers. They came up against a vastly changed Hull Kingston Rovers side and were on the winning run again. 44-24 it finished. Now, that was after Hull Kingston Rovers. They opened the scoring after 8 minutes through their new signing, Albert Kelly. Wakefield responded with Matty Ashes going in after 12 minutes. That was 6-all at that stage, thanks to the boot of Craig Hall. Hull Kingston Rovers then went 12-6 in front with former Warrington player Tyrone McCarthy going over the line. That was converted by Italian international Josh Mantellato. Then Wakefield saw two quick tries from Jacob Miller to go in at half time, 16-12 in front. They extended their advantage 8 minutes into the new half through skipper Danny Kerman. Hull Kingston Rovers pulled a try back through Ken Seo. That was converted again by Mantellato, and that was 22 points to 18. Then enter the ex-Warrington wing, Chris Riley. Now, he's always been a lad that can score a try, can Chris. He's a really underrated winger as far as I'm concerned. Always comes up with the important tries, the important plays within a game. He scored a true hat-trick, coming after 60 minutes, 71 minutes and 72 minutes. And with the goals of Craig Hall, that stretched the advantage out to 38 points to 18. Hull Kingston Rovers again rallied towards the end with their new signing from Leeds, Ryan Bailey, going over for a converted try. But Jacob Miller, he also secured a hat-trick with his third score just before the end. Craig Hall kicking his seventh goal, and that secured the 44-24 victory. Now, what does that mean to the table? Well, to be honest, with two games gone of the season, there's only St Helens, Leeds and Wakefield and Warrington who have a 100% record. St Helens, they won on the opening weekend against Catalans Dragons. Leeds won on the opening weekend against Hull Kingston Rovers away after a torrid battle. And Warrington, they defeated Salford 22 points to 8 and followed that up with a 7 points to 6 win at Hull. I don't know where it is. Sometimes you get really low scoring games, don't you, at Hull? Last season, I remember them losing one game 7-0 against Widnes, and they're at it again with a very, very narrow loss to Warrington, in which both teams can be really happy with their defence. The rest of the top eight of Super League is made up of Wigan, who have won one and drawn one, Hull, who've won and lost one, Catalan, who've won and lost, and Widnes, who had that opening day draw with Wigan. The bottom four, well, they haven't picked up any points yet, and that is Castleford, Huddersfield, Hull Kingston Rovers and Salford. So plenty of action taking place, plenty more to come, and I tell you what, it's hotting up, isn't it?
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, this is of course the Final Hooter on Radio General and loverugbyleague.com. Hope you're enjoying the show thus far. Coming up now, well, I mentioned referees before, but it's about time we turned to Rugby League Street. So here are the boys. It's Kieran Makin, Chris Stott, Rob Lee and Drew Derbyshire discussing referees. Take it away, boys.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Rugby League Street. Today's topic is referees. Chris, you're going to start us off with this one?
Yeah, it's come to light mainly after the performance or lack of performance from James Childs in the Wigan Widnes game. You know, it's St. Paddy Arvanagh for, you know, a questionable decision. You know, it's I think it was a harsh red card, but that wasn't the worst decision he's made. You know, he's made some absolute shocking calls. You know, there was the one where, I can't remember who it was, but the Widnes winger supposedly got
dragged into touch
when he clearly hadn't, you know, and he's given a penalty.
Oh, you mean when Joel Tompkins rolled him into touch?
Yeah. It,
and then Widnes going to score them, last level in trying. He just had no control of the game, and it's not the first time that a referee's been like that.
It's not just that as well, though. He's not just swaying to one side more, do you know. Like biasy, what you tend to see in sport nowadays, he just made shocking decisions for either side, which probably cost the game for Wigan.
It's not the first time James Childs has had a bad game. I remember as far back as 2011, he reffed Lee versus Catalan in a Challenge Cup, and he had an absolute nightmare. We was all over Catalan, and he chalked off three tries, which, like, on first period, there's absolutely nothing wrong with him. We're not just going to bang on about James Childs. He's not the only referee that comes up with some shocking calls. And I just think the quality of refereeing across the board lets down the quality of the game. Because the game quality is getting better, the players' quality is getting better, but the referee standard is lagging behind.
He received a lot of stick for this, and I actually disagree with most people on this one. But I think Steve Ganson was an actually okay ref, to be honest. Comparing him with these refs, what are reffing in Super League nowadays? I know he's a video referee now, so he's not actually reffing on the pitch. But I thought I'd rather have him being the referee of my team than Childs and etc. etc. I think one of the best referees that Super League has had in the last 10 years is, remember a famous name, Thierry Alibert. I thought he was a great referee. And,
I'm sorry, Joe, we'll have to step in on that, but Thierry Alibert, the best ref that Super League have had, didn't he count to seven twice? And didn't the team score on the seventh tackle?
All right, see, all my hands up. Everyone makes mistakes, Rob.
Obviously, we've come to a conclusion that it is swings and roundabouts. They make good decisions, they make bad decisions, but what do you think needs to be done? Do you think they need more help? Obviously, they've got the video ref for tries. They've got would you like to see the touch judges doing more?
The touch judges need to do more. It's not a fact that they might have to do more.
What do they actually do? That is the big question.
Yeah, they signal when the ball's gone into touch, and they tell you when you're back 10 metres and stuff like that. They need to come on and do things. It's like, we all take the mick out of the famous Castleford-Wigan match with Mick Morgan commentating. The linesman gave that decision. It wasn't the referee. The referee was on the wrong side of the ruck, couldn't see it. The linesman came on and said that Kelvin Skerritt had gone in with a swinging arm. That's what they need to do. I also think they should adopt the NRL system. Two referees on the pitch. But most importantly, they need to be consistent. I can live if they're consistently terrible, But if they just make one good call in an 80 minutes, it's not good enough. They need to be consistent all the time.
I think, personally, they need a consistent set of rules where they can go by it. And if they get it wrong the first couple of times, you've got to stick by them. I'd also agree with the two referee system. They have two referees, touch judges coming in, helping out, and that would, I think that would benefit more, and they can learn a consistent set of rules and apply them.
I think as well, you know, sometimes it's needed that you have some sort of disciplinary, you know, say, because I know it's happened in football where Matt, who was it, the Andre Mariner it was, so you sent off the wrong person.
With the Kieran Gibbs and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's got to be a point where if the referee has had a clearly bad game, just say to him, look mate, have a week off. You know, just reflect on your performance, and they need somebody at the Referees Association or whatever it is to just look back at games and go, well, you made a bit of mistake there. Do you know why you've made it? If you don't know why, you need to go and refresh your memory about it.
I think though, with Chris picked up on it then, that especially with the Kieran Gibbs and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain incident, I think that'll probably bring us onto a topic in a few weeks, and it's disciplinary consistency, because that's a big topic, because that I think needs to be restructured as well, and that'll affect how you send people off in games, when you send people off, whether it's a sin bin offence and stuff like that, and whether you put stuff on report, because a lot of things they were sending people off, but like the Arvan incident was a yellow card at most. Yes, it was a high shot, but did he mean it? Was it malicious? No, it was just mistimed. That was a yellow card, it was not a red card. That's the kind of thing you've got to do, but you've got to look at it throughout the RFL, not just on the pitch.
Just going back to what Rob said there and his point that he made about the linesman, I think the linesman in Super League and the Championships nowadays, I think it's atrocious, the little job that they do, because they may have taken back 10 metres, and when you can see players are offside and they just wave play on and they just act like nothing's happening when there's players stood two yards in front of them setting off early. I think it's atrocious, and they don't pull them up about it just because the referee on the pitch hasn't made the decision.
Well, overall, I think we agree. Refs need more support, maybe by an extra ref, or the touch judges taking more responsibility on, or both.
Or even more training, more professional training.
But I'd like to see a consistent set of rules, to be fair. And hopefully they will sort it out, because it does spoil the game of rugby league.
Radio General is a registered charity and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers. Each member provides a regular commitment to the station for no monetary reward. If you'd like to help Radio General and think you could demonstrate the commitment needed, then write to us for an application form. Our address is Radio General, Warrington Hospital, Lovely Lane, Warrington, WA5 1QG. Or check out the website for more details at www.radiogeneral.co.uk. Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, welcome back to the Final Hooter here on Radio General. There's always some interesting views from Rugby League Street, and they'll be back with us for our next show. Coming up now, we're going to look at the Challenge Cup, and this past weekend saw round two of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup competition. Myself and Adrian Jackson pick up the story, and we split up this weekend to bring reaction from West Bank and Lee Miners.
Parky, quite bizarre this. We're doing the road to Wembley for round two at the Lee Sports Village.
It's always a good place to be. I mean, it's not that far from my home, so I'm glad that you've ventured into enemy territory as far as you're concerned.
Our team, Widnes West Bank, were in the second round, playing against the Great Britain Police, but we had controversy because the Great Britain Police shouldn't have been there. It should have been Rochdale Mayfield.
Yeah, and I was at a similar game on Saturday as well, which involved Lee Miners and Walney Central. So up to Tuesday, Walney Central, they were preparing for a trip to Humberside, and next thing you know, they've got to come down to Lee and play against the Miners. Miners won in that one. Widnes West Bank doing another good job and getting further and advancing our road to Wembley, that's for sure.
British Police didn't know what to expect from them, but they give a good account of themselves. I just thought the extra fitness of West Bank was good enough to get them through and win the game for them.
That probably saw them through in the last round as well, didn't it? That extra little bit of fitness that they had on the team from London that they played. But I think it's all about guts, isn't it? There's not a lot between a lot of the sides that play in the Challenge Cup, but it's about who wants it more, isn't it? And certainly Widnes West Bank proving worthy winners in the end.
Wow, let's hear from Ricky Hughes right now.
Great win. We worked well. We started to click a little bit better in the last couple of weeks from the last performance in the Challenge Cup. Good side we played again. Physical, But like you say, we just worked a little bit quicker and things went right for us on the day.
Scoreline doesn't really suggest what a battle it was out there.
Yeah, it was a bit of a battle of the forwards. Like you say, they played a lot down the middle. They're a big unit and, like you say, had plenty of ball. But we defended well, kept it going and, like you say, got the result. Yeah, it's like you say, I think once you get in these stages of the Challenge Cup, the standard's going to be good at no matter who you're playing. It's basically on the day, so it's like no matter who you play, it's going to be a good game of rugby.
Some good tries scored out there tonight.
Yeah, it was like you say, we started to link, click together like the halfbacks now. We've got a lot of new players in this year, so more game we play, the better we'll get. And like you said, support player was good. Yeah, that's great. Like you said, just hope we get a good little draw now and see where we go from there and keep pushing and try our best in every game we play.
Immensely happy to have got through.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a good victory, isn't it? I think certainly, you know, the good value, and we look forward to the draw, don't we?
Now, before we bring you news of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup third round draw, let us hear from joint coach of Lee Miners Rangers, Alan Coleman. Your thoughts on this game? A tough old win today against Walney.
Yeah, certainly tough. I think I'm glad for the home tie. I think it would have been a very difficult tie away from home. We spoke before the game and we knew it was their Wembley kind of thing, coming to a Conference Premier team, and we knew it was going to be tough. We've made some changes. We've got a big squad this year and thought we went well, and there's room for improvement in all areas, but I thought they come with a great attitude, defended real well, and they deserve the scoreline, I think. You know, people can say we should be winning with more, but I think this is the love of the cup, and it was a great old tussle.
I mean, to be fair, if you look down the lineup of that Walney Central team, there's a few lads who used to play up at Barrow not that long ago.
Yeah, I think six ex-professionals in the team with great experience. But, you know, it's like anything, and we keep speaking about this. They've got great experience, and we've got a bit in, but I think we're changing our outlook on it at the moment. We're trying to promote our youth through a lot more now. I think it's becoming a younger and younger man's game, and we had some young kids in today and they've done real well against experienced players.
So give us an idea of these young lads who you've got coming through. Who are they? What can we expect of them?
Well, there's two guys. I coached England this year under 18s. Two guys have come over: Conor Radcliffe, loose forward, Harry Gregg and the winger. They've both gone really well today, and you know, Conor's captain of England. He's there for a reason. He will be a professional player. There's no doubt about that.
I've got to ask you, you know, because ahead of this game, you only knew on Tuesday that you was back in the cup. You did get knocked out over at Hull Dockers. Yeah. So, what's that preparation been like then?
We was organising a friendly anyway, but we got a bit of an heads up saying it could be happening. So we spoke to the fellas and they was chomping at the bit, really. You know, this is the greatest cup you can play in any rugby occasion, and to get a second chance, and I think it's a deserved second chance. If you don't play by the rules, you know, you're not in the competition.
So yes, so there was Alan Coleman of the Lee Miners Rangers Club, and he was giving me the lowdown on Lee Miners Rangers being put back in the cup, as were the British Police. Sadly, it was the end of the road for the British Police, as our side on the road to Wembley, West Bank Burs, put them out by 38 points to 16. Now, I did say that we would have a look at the draw for the third round of the Challenge Cup, and well, it's brought some very, very interesting ties, to be honest. North Wales Crusaders, they've been drawn at home against Widnes West Bank. Elland, after toppling Egremont, get a home tie against Featherstone Lions. Newcastle Thunder have to travel over to play Wathbrow Hornets. Hemel Stags are at home to Oxford. There's an interesting all-amateur clash between Normanton Knights, who travel to Oulton Raiders, and another one between Lee Miners Rangers, who host West Hull. Coventry Burs, they'll play against Oldham, while we see Kells host Rochdale Hornets. London Scholars at home to Swinton Lions. Keighley Cougars have to travel to Barrow Raiders. York City Knights too have to go to South Wales to face the South Wales Scorpions. And there could be an upset on the cards between the University of Gloucestershire All Golds, who host Skirler. Those ties to be played on the 7th and the 8th of March.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Okay, I mentioned it before that we got some coverage from the championship launch, the Kingstone Press Championship, of course, which got underway this past weekend. Myself and Adrian, we found ourselves over at the launch event, which was held in Worsley just a few days ago. And I caught up with a certain coach from Sheffield in Mark Aston.
We brought eight new players in, and I've got to say it's probably the best eight that we've faced in for since we started the club back up. So it's exciting, and you know, there's a buzz around the game, isn't there? People are talking about can teams beat Super League teams now, which hasn't been, you know, known over the last so many years, because it's been, there's no promotion relegation, there's a chance. And you know, you look at some of the results in pre-season, you know, Lee have been very, very strong, haven't they? Dewsbury's had a good pre-season, so we're a little bit unknown, as we always are. We haven't had any pre-season games, but I like that. Nobody knows what we're going to throw at them, and I don't know.
I was just about to say, because that's how you roll, isn't it? You've gone for years with that.
You see, it's a physical game, so how anybody can call them friendlies? There's no such thing as that, and it's getting us timing right and things like that. We train at a high intensity, and I wanted to spend the time on the, you know, on the field with this group to get them used to the systems that I want. But, you know, we've done some poor stuff. We've done it against each other. We've done it against the reserves, so we've had any tuck. We'll be firing on all cylinders for his first game, however. But, you know, the nice thing is nobody knows anything that I'm going to throw at them. I'm excited about that because they're training well.
And as well, looking at your back line's ever potent and should be even better with your circumstances that you'll find yourself playing in this year over at Doncaster.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the facility and the ground was very important to us. Last year it wasn't what we required. We want to entertain, we want to play. We've added Sam Smeaton, who 2 years ago were probably one of the best centres in this competition. He's back, he's fired and he's fit and he's excited. And, you know, stick outside and Missy Talababa, stick Menzieri on and QLT, you've got some threat there, and we need the space, and that's the thing for us. We want to entertain the fans, we want to entertain the rugby league family, and we can do that at the Keymo.
That was Mark Aston, and there you have it. The Eagles set to entertain again on the wide open spaces of Doncaster. It's a very potent back line which the Eagles possess. Now at the launch, I also caught up with Batley Bulldogs boss John Keir, and he gave this reaction concerning full-time teams in the Championship. There's quite a contingent of full-time clubs coming into Championship, which obviously gives them a massive advantage, doesn't it?
It does, but it's good. The more full-time teams there are in this game, the more quality players we will produce. That's, you know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to realise that if you could spend more time practising on the playing field and conditioning yourself specifically for our sport, you're going to be better at it. And, you know, if you can spend 25, 30 hours a week doing it, you're better than if you can spend 6 to 8 hours a week doing it, which is what part-time players do. But I'm happy with that. My dream is for a 20-team full-time teams, and perhaps 2 tens with one down, but that's well down the... But where the game's at this moment in time, I think this structure's first class, and I think the more full-time players we can get, the better it is. And, you know, I don't see it as a threat. I welcome it and embrace it, and I see it as a way of seeing how we compare standard-wise with people who've got so much time, facilities... In order to put a team out.
How enthusiastic does John Keir sound? I tell you what, that even that falls into insignificance compared with the next guy that I spoke to. I had a chat with Chief Operating Officer of the RFL, Ralph Rimmer, and he gave these thoughts ahead of the Rugby League new era beginning for the Championship. We're on the brink of the new era as far as the Championship is concerned, and, well, from the buzz in this room, it's been so exciting.
You've nailed it there. You know, the room is absolutely fizzing. It looks great, first of all. You know, seeing all the different teams from absolutely all over the country and Wales, of course. It looks great, seeing the colours. It feels great. There's a tension here, I think, that hasn't been here before. And I think we are, as you say, we're on the brink of something very special.
I mean, we had a great season last year, didn't we, as far as this competition was concerned, but I just get the feeling it's been ramped up even further now with the potential of promotion, relegation.
You're absolutely right. The new format has definitely captured the imagination of everybody that's involved in this. I mean, it was demonstrated by some of the record crowds that were produced on the weekend. I expect, again, there to be another set of record crowds delivered at Championship and also League One 2 weeks after that, so... I think everybody's buying into it, certainly everybody in the room is buying into it, and you know, you almost feel like, you know, let the games begin. We're at that point.
Are you pleased with how the clubs have bought into it? Has there been any hard sell that you've had to give them?
No. No, I can honestly say that. Clearly, you know, this has been a three-year process to get to this, and clearly, if you can say there hasn't been any hard sell over the 3 years, of course there has. Of course there has. But I can genuinely say, from the moment probably the curtain came down on the grand final last year, that you've got 38 clubs that are committed, a little scared, and very excited about what we're going to produce.
Yeah, there's a bit of trepidation, isn't there? Certainly amongst some of these clubs who's not been in this situation before.
No, well, all those conversations that have gone on in the pubs, clubs and coffee lounges of the country about, you know, whether clubs could legitimately compete in the competition below or not, suddenly we're going to get to find out.
And obviously from the pre-season we've seen clubs competing already, haven't we? I mean, Dewsbury came up with a great result against a full-time London, and we even saw a Leeds side beat a Wigan side.
Yeah, we did. I'll tell you another thing. I mean, it's a good couple of examples that you brought up there. Another one that really interested me was Oxford going up to play Hunslet Warriors. You know, this is a whole game solution, and Oxford picking Hunslet Warriors to play on a very, very cold day in January, I thought that was pretty bold. I've watched Hunslet Warriors play on a couple of occasions. They're a pretty uncompromising crew. And it just feels like everybody's involved.
Ralph, I think like me, you're chomping at the bit as well.
I'm absolutely chomping at the bit. I don't want to be standing here. I want to be at ground now.
There we go. So that was Ralph Rimmer, the Chief Operating Officer of the RFL, wanting to be at a ground. I wonder which ground he picked. Okay, now let's get on to the action. And I was at Dewsbury last weekend to see both teams give everything to get the points. It was Dewsbury Rams taking on the Sheffield Eagles, and Sheffield started really quickly and took a 10-0 lead with tries by Scott Turner and Pat Walker. Dewsbury responded before the break with tries of their own from Dalton Grant and Anthony Thackeray, nudging them ahead, and the second half was an incident-packed affair, with Thackeray adding a drop goal before a last-minute try from Grant, converted superbly from the touchline by Tom Hemingway, earned the hosts a 19-10 win. Let's have some reaction, and we're going to hear from back-to-back interviews. First of all, Glenn Morrison, the Dewsbury Rams coach, and then the star scrum half, Anthony Thackeray.
19-19 points is a pretty good result, and I spoke to the boys, we can do throw the ball around as much as we want, but the condition's probably not going to suit that, so whoever's going to defend better will get the result, and I told them to defend as like they enjoyed it as much as scoring tries, and they did that tonight. I think their defence was outstanding. Couple of tries, one on one of our errors, and then another one from a kick that rebounds the other way. So apart from that, was very solid, and as I said, I'm proud. I'm happy for them to get the win finally.
It was a real gutsy performance, that, wasn't it?
It was, mate. Yeah, that's what we're about. We know we don't spend the money of other clubs. We don't bring in superstars. We've got a team that want to work hard for each other, and when the chips are down, they've got each other's back. And I think that the performance today showed that. And that's what we're about as a club, on and off the field. We're workers, mate, and we worked our way to a good win today.
And I think certainly in young Dalton Grant, you've found a finisher there, haven't you?
Mate, I think he's a quality winger. I looked at him for a while, and when he was available, I couldn't be happy to get him on board. He turned down more money to go elsewhere to come here, which shows that he wants to be at the club. And as I said, everybody here wants to be at the club. They're not here for the money. And when you've got people doing that and working like they are, you're going to get some good results, and we did that.
I imagine that's going to be, you know, a real satisfying performance for Stoke for you.
Yeah. As we said, the pre-season mean nothing. A good win against a full-time London side would have meant nothing if we didn't come and get the points here today. Home game as well. We want to get as many points as we can at home for the fans as well as ourselves. And you can't afford to drop many games this year. We've started like we want to start, but we've got to go on with it now.
Well, I'm joined by Anthony Thackeray. I don't think you could have asked for a tougher start to the Championship campaign, could you, than tonight?
No, we couldn't. We know it was going to be a real tough start, as we had a tough start last year, but we haven't beat Sheffield for a few years now down here.
You're saying 16 games. I mean, that's one heck of a bogey side to be coming up against, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. We knew we was going to have it tough. Obviously, that was against us, really. But put that to the back of the minds. We had a good pre-season and we knew what we had to do today to win the game.
It was one of those where, because of the conditions, you probably had to rein stuff in, really, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. This time of year is, you know, the summer rugby, isn't it? It's not the best for fast flowing free rugby, but yeah, you've got to rein it in a bit. Game plans change from week to week, and you play to suit conditions.
I think certainly, you know, that kicking game off both yourself, Matty, and also Tom Hemingway as well, that probably turned the game in a lot of respects, because at times when you was under a bit of pressure, you could just turn around.
Yeah, obviously if you've got, you know, people in your team that can kick, it can relieve some pressure there. I thought they kicked quite well as well, but we did get a few repeat sets in that first half, but we just kept letting them off with silly errors. So it's still something that me, Matty and Tommy will keep working on, is our kicking game, and hopefully we'll keep improving.
First 20-25 minutes, it was all Sheffield, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, again, due to our errors, penalties, letting them into our half, and you know, you can't do that against the quality side, and obviously that showed when they went two scores up. But you know, we dug deep and we've got some character in our team, and you know, we came out the other side.
There was another signature Thax try and all that as well.
Yeah, I don't mind getting over for one or two, but it was Scott O'Yale that called it. He says run the ball, and I went to line, and yeah, it's just opened up, really.
You got one or two new players that have come into the squad this season, but I think the your success is going to come on the back of you guys that have been here a couple of years now, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He's got a good squad together. Again, it is the best club I've been at in terms of, you know, the group of lads being so close knit. So it'll bode well for us. Whoever don't get picked one week, you know, Morrow's going to have a job on his hands, but I'm sure whoever comes into the team can do a job for us.
I like what you said there, because, I mean, you've had one of these careers that where you've kind of skipped about at various clubs, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so for you to say that you feel home here, what's different between this and, so like, a Widnes or a Halifax or a Hull or a Castleford? Yeah, sorry, yeah. I've mentioned most of them there, don't I?
More clubs than Tiger Woods. I don't know what the difference is, really. I just feel I'm happy on the field, off the field. And it shows in your performance. I think all the lads enjoy each other's company, and we enjoy coming training, and we enjoy going out to battle with each other, and I think it does make a massive difference.
Anthony Thackeray there, and it makes a massive difference if you're part of a club, you feel part of a club, and certainly that is how he feels about things at the moment. And it's nice to see him settled, because he's a really good player at Championship level, always scored plenty of tries. I remember his spells with Widnes Vikings, was always a go-to man for the Widnes Vikings, scored plenty of tries. Now, talking about players being settled, recently Lee Centurions have announced that their fullback Greg McNally has signed a new deal. I was on the phone with Greg not that long ago to discuss what's been going on there.
Absolutely chuffed to be offered the deal and stuff by Derek, and it's nice to be rewarded for all the hard work I've been put in. And Derek's always been honest since the day I signed that if any player is doing better than what their contract says at the currently, they'll improve it, and and luckily I've improved it, and I've also got which I'm happy about, because I absolutely love the club.
It's a good incentive, really, isn't it? I'm thinking other players will look at perhaps what you've put in and be thinking, hang on, maybe if I want to be around here for a bit longer.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, exactly. It obviously make everyone pick their performances up, hopefully, as well, and think, well, if Greg can get it sort of thing, I can get it as well. And it'll only benefit the club in the long run, because performances will show that on the pitch, and results will follow.
You've sort of recently moved over into the town, obviously having commuted for basically most of the time that you've been here before. How are you finding it? I would guess it's a lot better for you, is it?
It's a lot better than being stuck on the M62 for 2 hours on the way home and all that.
I'm missing your pictures, though, on Twitter, mate, you know, of the traffic jams.
Can't moan about the traffic jams anymore, so I just find everything else to moan about, so I'm putting it on Twitter. I do love a good moan, so that's what happens. That happens, really. Now that I'm enjoying it, I really, really enjoy it. The town's a lot like, I don't want to offend everyone from Lee, but it's a bit like Whitehaven sort of thing. It's very small from where Huddersfield is. Huddersfield was a bit too big for me coming from Whitehaven. It was like kind of near enough a city, and I wasn't used to. I'm just a little country boy that likes to be in a little town.
Yeah.
But Lee's a lot like Whitehaven, but obviously a bit more updated. They actually have colour TVs and telephones and internet down here.
You didn't have to go that far. It's not that much more advanced than Whitehaven, surely.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah. Now that I'm loving it. My mum is loving it as well. She's got a job over here. She's settled, and the kids are absolutely loving. Obviously got a bigger house, and there's more things for them to do and stuff, so everyone's really enjoying it. It's a win-win situation, really.
So that was Greg McNally. Sounds like he's really enjoying it at Lee, doesn't it? And that leads us nicely onto the main event in round one of the championship, where Lee won a spicy game against Bradford Bulls by 36 points to 24. Both myself and Adrian Jackson were there, and this is how we saw it.
Well, Parky, the championship matters, and my God, we just witnessed a cracker between Bradford and Lee Centurions.
Well, for me, it's the second fantastic game in the championship over the course of the weekend, because I was there on Friday night at Dewsbury as well. But you're right, I mean, I don't think we'll see many more tumultuous games than that. I mean, five Simbinins in the first half, one in the second, and some fantastic skills on show, and over-aggression at times.
So they've got to the building, and the expectation of what everybody expected from the game from two clubs you're expected to be up there at the end of it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm really pleased for everybody who came to the stadium. I mean, nearly 7,500 for a championship game. I mean, I don't think there's been a higher attendance since certainly a few years ago when, was it Salford and Widnes had an 8,800 gates over at Widnes. But yeah, the game's the winner today. I know we saw some strange refereeing decisions, and we saw some really odd play from both sides. We saw a lot of aggression. We saw some great running. And what a story that second half was. I mean, for Lee to come back from 20 points to 6 down, to win the game and win it as convincingly as they did, they were doing plenty of things right, weren't they, in the second 40?
If Bradford Bulls thought life was going to be easy in the championship, they were given a rude awakening today.
Yeah, massively so. And to be honest, I'd be interested to see what this Bradford side does when it goes to places like Batley and Dewsbury. You know, Dewsbury were really, really good, really tough on Friday night when they played against Sheffield Eagles. I think that they're going to be my tip as a dark horse for a top four spot, in fact, Dewsbury. So, yeah, this Bradford side have got to watch out, haven't they?
Before we hear from Paul Rowley, let's hear from Chef Walker.
Well, yeah, everything. Even had a bit of amateur in there. It's just a bit of ill discipline. Game got dragged into the gutter. It's a bit of a tarnish, really, on what could have been a great spectacle. That's a million miles away from the Super League fixture that I've ever seen. Maybe not in the standard of rugby and the tries that were scored, but just the way the game went about and the way it ended up being conducted by certain players could have been a little bit better and a little bit more professional. But fair play to Lee. They came away with the 2 points, and good luck to them for the rest of the year. We just got to concentrate on ourselves and get back on the horse and just go about our own business again. I made my debut 16 years ago, so I've experienced things like that before in the past where games get dragged into the gutter. Super League's really pretty. It's clean rugby and it's clear. There's none of that niggly stuff, so might have been a shock to certain people. But we've got to learn a lesson from it. Learn a lesson and go forward.
Chef Walker kind of indicating, Parker, that some of the rugby played out there is miles away from Super League.
Well, they're part of it now. They're miles away from Super League. On that performance, Bradford are miles away in Super League. They played a 50-minute game. Unfortunately, it lasts for 80, and they were played off the park in the last 30 by a hungry Lee side, which played the better rugby, which was more disciplined in the last 30 minutes. And, OK, you might say that it's Pennine rugby, but his side are as guilty of it as anybody.
Paul Rowley was a winning coach who caught up with him. Let's hear from him.
I will just use the word bizarre. Obviously very eager to please today, and we come out looking nervous. I don't believe we were nervous, but maybe I don't know, overconfidence is the right thing to say. But yeah, we certainly were put off our game, and you know, could be excused for at one point thinking, oh dear, what's my aftermatch speech going to be? And you know, Bradford, you know, certainly are the favourites, have set the bar, and at half time it looked very much that way. But ultimately, we've been in these positions before against teams and come out of them. So once we get the ball, once we've settled into the game, and plus once we got players on the field, it's quite difficult to play against quality sides with the 11 players on the field or 12 players on the field at any one time. So ridiculous amount of penalties from both sides, really. And you know, we were good for a lot of them too. So you know, we'll look at that as an area we can improve. But I can put a lot of that down to, like I say, very eager to please. But as bizarre as the game were, ultimately it panned out for a terrific story with an happy ending and lots of drama for everybody. So I think the 7,500 that came to the stadium today was certainly entertained, and you know, that's Bradford fans as well, that, you know, they must be applauded for creating a good atmosphere in the stadium. But ultimately there's only people that went home happy.
That second half was something else though, Paul. I mean, to come back from 20 points to 16.
Yeah, it got more and more exciting as it went along, as you know, the gap closed, and you just felt that if we scored that one try and then another, that pressure, it was showing on Bradford. And it was about keeping the ball in our hands, and like I said before, many occasions we were very difficult to defend against, and you know, we scored enough points, and we scored good points against a very good Bradford side. I've said it before, it's an 80 minute game, can't be good for 80 minutes, it's quite difficult, but our 40 were better than their 40 and we come up with 2 points.
I think he summed it up perfectly there, didn't he, Paul Rowley? Losing 20 points to 6 at half time, coming back to win 36 points to 24. Now, in the other games that took place in the Championship over the opening weekend, there were wins for Batley, Halifax, London Broncos, and Featherstone. And let us now switch our attentions to the World Club Challenge. Now, as I mentioned before, it's an expanded competition this year, and it features Warrington against St George Illawarra, Wigan against Brisbane, and the main event at a sellout Langtree Park, where champions collide. It's St Helens taking on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Ahead of a weekend with a difference, Adrian Jackson had a chat with two of the best coaches around. I'm talking none other than super coach Wayne Bennett and Michael Maguire. You can hear from them right now.
Wow, Wayne Bennett, you've been involved in rugby league many years, been there and done it as a coach. How big of a game is this for you on Saturday night?
Oh, look, it's part of your coaching experience and something I'm looking forward to, and I'd much rather be here than in the back of Australia somewhere playing in front of 5,000 or 6,000 people in a trial match, because this won't be a trial match, this will be a full-on game of rugby league. And I'm happy to be here because we've got a really tough task within 10 days of that, playing South Sydney, and it'll be a good test for us.
Good workout ahead of your season. What do you make of Wigan coming into this game?
Well, I haven't seen much of them, but they've always been a quality footy team, and they played in the grand final and just got beaten there. And we played here in 2010, the Dragons played them, so that was only 5 years ago, so they've always been a quality footy club, and they still are, and they'll be hard.
But Brisbane as a club, what does it mean to be part of this new concept of the World Club Series?
Yeah, well, I always like being a part of something new, and I think it's a good concept. And I mean, Gary Hetherington from Leeds has often talked about it, and Peter Dowse from the Dragons were talking about it 5 or 6 years ago, so I'm pleased they've got something on the table, and obviously the fans have responded to it, which is wonderful. So let's see where it goes from here.
Certainly the fans have responded to it over here. What's it been like in Brisbane?
Well, because the game's not in Brisbane, it's, you know, it's not as high on the priority, but they'll all be watching on Sunday, I've got no doubt about that. But we've been in the Nines, we've been in the All-Stars, so that's where the media's attention's been. And the other big point is South Sydney versus St Helens for the World Club Championship. That's the major game, so you know, we're somewhere below that.
It's going to be a tough game, but what style of game can we expect?
I can't tell you, mate. If we don't hold the ball, we'll be scratchy. So our first challenge is to hold the football. Okay, and that's your problem as you come out of pre-season, is just, you know, your skills aren't where they should be. I hope ours are pretty good, but, you know, they may not be where we just want them. So
we hold it in very high regard. I think I was a part of a World Club Challenge when I was with Wigan, and unfortunately we missed that one. So I know the passion behind everything that goes into this game, and it's something that we're very keen to perform at and obviously chase the trophy.
Brand new concept of it. So what do you think of it?
I think it's good. I think the fact that we've got three Australian teams over here to try and help promote the game, but really it's probably more grow the game, I think is the biggest thing that they're achieving out of this. And you know, I'm looking forward to that it gets bigger and stronger. I think I'm very fond of the English game. My time over here, I was able to take home some great memories and great times at Wigan, and to see my staff and the players continue on. Once I left, and I still watch all the games from Wigan, and I think it's a great concept to try and grow everything that's going on here.
You saw personally, I suppose, a great game with the being against Wigan, but it's going to be Saints Helens. What do you make of the Saints?
They're performing very well. Their last 3 weeks have been, they've been very competitive. They've hung onto the ball, they complete their sets, and they're playing good footy. So for us, we need to make sure we're well prepared defensively, and obviously make sure we do the things that we're capable of doing, and do the little things well.
You're in pre-season, so how's that gone for you?
We've been good. Yeah, we've had a really good pre-season. We had a good idea. We managed to go away and spend a bit of time together through the pre-season, and I think all our players now they're getting better times and all those sorts of things, but we're well aware that every other team's doing the same. So it's about what we do now week to week and how we prepare for this game. Our focus around what we need to do this week is very important.
Go on, and whilst I'm feeling really, really generous, how about this? Our man Steve Manning ended up catching up with none other than Greg Inglis from the South Sydney Rabbitohs. This is his thoughts.
Greg Inglis, the South Sydney Rabbitohs captain, your thoughts on this World Club game against the Saints on Sunday?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be a cracker. I think there's like 20,000 people out there, and I think there's going to be maybe 19,000 screaming against us. Sunday night is going to be a very, very great initiative, and it's going to be played in the right respected manner. And
for your own point, you won the grand final, it's been a long time coming, but you got it. Then the side won the Auckland Nines. I know you weren't involved with that, but then you've won the Charity Shield against your biggest rival, St George, so it's going to be full on, and you're going to be ready for it, aren't you?
Yeah, look, like I keep saying, it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a tough challenge, but I'm confident in my team and in my squad that we can do the job. We just have to make sure that we can play our best and best we can, and hold each other accountability for individual jobs.
So that was Greg Inglis. It was a bit short and sweet, that, wasn't it? But we've got plenty of things to look forward to. World Club Challenge weekend, we'll have as much reaction as we can muster here on the Final Hooter. My thanks to you for joining me. My thanks to Adrian and to Steve for giving the guests that we have. And we'll be back soon.